Hallelujah. Saturday, there's a list up at the back, starting 11:30 through to 12:30. Thank you. Hallelujah. We had a great time in Walsall. Ministering to the students is a privilege, it's an honour, and it's not anything that we take lightly. And for me to stand here before you today, I don't take that lightly either. I want to thank God for giving me these opportunities, and I thank God that he gives me something to bring for you. And I do believe that this is God speaking today and not me. So I pray that you would just forget that I'm here and tune your ear to hear what God is saying. Open up your heart and just let the Spirit move. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you turn your Bibles or any other electronic device that you may have to Philippians chapter 1? Thank you. Philippians, the first chapter. And I'm reading a very well-known portion of Scripture. And I'm reading it over you and I'm reading it over me. Hallelujah. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. These are amazing words. And they're not just words, they're life. And when Paul spoke these words to the church in Philippi, he really meant these words. And I say to you today that I mean these words over you today too. I'm not just speaking them as words, but I'm speaking them as a prayer for you, as I remember you. Because I thank God that I'm in partnership with you because of the gospel. Because of the gospel. And you know, the wonderful thing is that we can be confident that what God has begun, he will complete. Can you amen that, church? Amen. Do you know that to be true in your life? That what God has started in your life, he will complete. Do you believe that? Because yes. You need to believe it. Don't waste God's time. Because God needs you and God wants to use you. But you need to believe it. You need to be, as John says, like Abraham, who was not a man of great faith, but he was a man of little unbelief. So let us not be people of unbelief, but let us be people of great faith. Amen? Jesus gives to you and to me a finished work. He's already done it. He's done his part. He says, the living it out, that's your part. Are you prepared to live it out? Are you ready to live it out? Amen? Amen. It's your call. You can live it out or you cannot live it out. It's entirely your call. God will not force you or make you do anything against your will. But don't you want to do the will of the Father? Yeah. Is that not our heart's cry? That we want to do the will of the Father? That's my heart's cry. So I thank God that Jesus has gifted me and gifted you a finished work. And it's all because of what he did. Hallelujah. God has deposited everything in you and me. Everything. Every single thing that you need to live a life of holiness and godliness is already inside of you. What are you doing with it? Are you tapping into it? Are you using it? Are you living it? Are you breathing it? Are you eating it? Are you meditating on it? Are you pondering it? You've already got it. He has entrusted the kingdom to you and to me. And here's the challenge. He's holding us accountable for the investment that he has made in you and me. The kingdom of God is in you and me. We all know that. And God has placed it in you and me as an investment. You and me are his bank. You and me are his bank. That's where his resources are. They're in his bank. And you're his bank. And when he comes back, he's wanting interest on his investment. If he's invested £100 in you, when he comes back, he wants more than £100. He wants to see a growth in his investment. Hallelujah. He wants to see a maturity. For investments, they come to a place of maturity. And that's when you get everything that has matured. Are we going to give him a good maturity? Yes. You and me can determine that. That's down to you and me to determine. God can't make this investment grow. It will grow with his help and with the help of the Holy Spirit. But if we don't cooperate, that investment will not grow.
Amen. That's good.
Let's look at 2 Timothy 1 verse 14. Because these aren't my words. These are the words that are in the Bible. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:14. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. If you're guarding something, you're looking after it.
Amen.
You're looking after it. You're protecting it. You're not squandering it or letting anything happen to it that shouldn't happen to it. You're taking care of it. Are you taking care of the kingdom that's been entrusted to you? Guard it, not in your own strength, my words, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, his words, who lives in us. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And all of us can see that. So if he's living in us by his Holy Spirit, then he is the one who is more than able to guard that which he has entrusted to you and to me. But it's our job to work it out. It's our job to enable that investment to mature. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Ephesians 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. I love this scripture. I so love this scripture. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
Amen.
Just meditate on that and let God speak to you. There's an amazing depth in that verse which will keep you going for a week or even longer. But there's one thing for sure, it'll keep you going. However long you meditate on it. Having every spiritual blessing means that we lack no spiritual blessing. Because we've got them all. But you'll note that they're spiritual blessings. So these spiritual blessings come to us in the spiritual realm. We live in the world, but we're no longer of the world. So we're living in the heavenly realm and we're using the spiritual blessings that we get in the heavenly realms to take us through life. Because if I try to use a spiritual blessing in my flesh, it can't give birth to anything spiritual because my flesh is contrary to the spirit. So these spiritual blessings are only of any use in our spiritual life when we're walking by the Holy Spirit, when we're allowing Him to live, and when we remind ourselves that we are dead. We've got to remind ourselves that we are dead. Because if all we are doing is living in the flesh, then all we are birthing and producing is flesh. And that avails nothing. And causes havoc. And takes us down a path that we don't want to go down. But do you know what? It's our choice. It's our choice. You're making smart choices. Well, let me tell you that God is for you. We sang a song this morning that nothing can come against us. No one can stand between us. But do you know what? We can. You ever thought of that? It struck me when we were singing that song. We know that in the heavenly realms nothing can. But what happens in the flesh when we let a little bit of pain in, or we let an injury in, or we let something or someone wound us? What happens then? That just comes in to try to spoil our relationship, to spoil our communion, and to spoil our fellowship. We've got to be alert. Amen. We've got to be awake to the Spirit and to the things of the Spirit, because that's where our life is. And we have it all. All that you need for your life, you already have it. So what are we doing with it? Are we using it in the way we're meant to use it? This is a challenge to me. But we have a storehouse inside of us called the kingdom of God, where all that we need is right inside of us. Now, do I use it or do I forget I have it? What's your excuse? We all have them. We all have excuses. Oh, I've had such a busy week. You know, I've not had any time to do anything. Not had time to read my words, not had time to pray, not had time to do anything. Well, that's just in the flesh. You know, but we make these excuses. Oh, I'm so tired, I need to go to my bed. You know, we're feeding our flesh. We might enjoy feeding our flesh. It might be very comforting for a moment, but it's not doing us any good in the spirit realm. I'm sorry, it's not doing us any good in the spirit realm. It's not causing a maturity to God's investment in me and you. So here we have inside of us a storehouse. We have every essential ingredient for life. Every essential ingredient. Hallelujah. We're never going to go to our store cupboard in the spirit realm and go, oh, I've run out of that. I need to go to Tesco's to get some. It's not going to happen. The storehouse is filled and full of all that we need. Amen. Do you sometimes go to your storehouse and go, oh gosh, I forgot that was in there. See that jar of peace? Could have done with that last week. Jar of peace. Oh, peace. Or, gosh, I forgot about that kindness. Yeah. I should maybe use some of that again. Yeah, let's get that jar of kindness out. I know I'm speaking to the right people because I can hear it in your laughter and whatever. I can see it in your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. You see, He's speaking. He's at work, to willing to do for His good pleasure. And you might be surprised when you go to your storehouse and you'll forget that there are things that were there. You'll forget about them. Gosh, haven't seen that for such a long time. So is that why you are where you are? But do you know what? It's not just about having these things, which is great for you and me. You know, let us enjoy them. But the point of having them, so we can give them away. That's why we get them, so we can give them away. Freely you've received, freely give. Use them for the kingdom, and then God gets the glory. Hallelujah. Be led by the Spirit into all that God wants you to do for him. Discharge the duties of your ministry. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. This is where your confirmation is. This is where your affirmation is. And as you meditate and ponder and study these things for you, you'll hear God speak wonderful truths to you too. Hallelujah. That's what the Word of God does when you read it in the Spirit and with the Spirit. 2 Timothy 4, 5. Sorry, I think I might have said 2. It says, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Hallelujah. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. The word ministry in the Greek is diakonos. And diakonos has different meanings depending on the context of which it is used. But in this particular verse here, Paul was urging Timothy to bring the level of his ministry to the highest level. That's what he was saying to Timothy. So that Timothy would show commitment and excellence in everything that he did in the name of his ministry. So Timothy is being commended here to show commitment and to show excellence. For me, that is a high standard. But do you know what? I believe that that is God's standard. Because God doesn't have any other standard than a high standard. Amen. God's standard is the highest standard. And you and I have to live on that level. That is where God is wanting us to be. Because that's the spirit level. That's the spiritual level. So in all the things that you do in his name, are you doing them with commitment? And are you doing them with excellence? Because when you do that, that is commendable in God's sight. God's taken a note of that. Now, we all know that it's not all about the doing. You know, if we did nothing for God, God would still love us, and that is true. But the purpose of you and me being here, the purpose of you and me having the kingdom entrusted to us, is so that we use it to enlarge the kingdom. Amen. Let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Well, in the heavenly realms, we're on earth, so we can let heaven come here on earth as we discharge the duties of our ministry with commitment and with excellence. That we meet God's highest standard. Amen? When we do this, when we are faithful to God, then the Spirit will keep us full of faith. And faith cannot fail. Doubt can, and unbelief can, but faith can only be faith. It can't be anything else. You might, you know, sometimes we can be too quick to say, oh, I don't know if I've got enough faith for that. Have you got faith? Well, that's all you need. That's all you need. Faith can only be faith. Do you remember when Jesus spoke to Simon? In fact, let's just look at it. Luke 22, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. Again, I just love this scripture. Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. When Jesus said those words, he knew exactly what Simon, Peter, was going to do. But he also knew that Simon Peter would turn back. Do you see that? He knew that Simon would turn back. And he said, and when you do, strengthen your brothers. So you see, doing things wrong doesn't mean that God doesn't love us or doesn't care about us. That's not true. But you know, the beautiful thing about that scripture was that the Lord showed me one day that when he said, Simon, Simon, you know, and often we'll know that when a name is repeated, then, you know, there's a real conviction there. You know, this is a, you really have to listen to this. You know, so Tommy, Tommy, Jean, Jean, Sarah, Sarah. You know, it's grabbing your attention. This is something, I'm going to say something important here, and you need to hear what it is. Well, the Lord showed me that when he spoke to Peter, he called him Simon. He was referring to the old man. He was referring to the flesh. Because you see, it's only in the flesh that we fail. Mm-hmm. You can't fail when you're in faith. You can't. You can't do that. Faith can only produce faith. So here's Jesus referring to the old man because Jesus knows the new man. Jesus knows the new man. And he knows the new man in you too. So what Jesus is actually doing here is actually encouraging. He's giving encouragement to Peter. Do you know what? You're maybe going to blow it, but you're going to turn back. Amen. And you're going to strengthen your brothers. Amen. And I still love you. Amen. Even when you blow it, I still love you. Yep. Everything done in faith will accomplish and achieve the purpose for which it was sent. So I want to challenge you with one or two things. What do you feel about your storehouse? Do you think it's empty? Do you think you don't have very much in it? Or do you see it as full? Or do you look at other people and you think they've got a bigger storehouse than me? And do you want to have what they've got? If you think someone else has more than you, you devalue what God has given you. That's a challenge. Believe me, I've been challenging this for years. I've heard this many times. Many, many times. But if you're looking at other people and thinking that they've got more of God than you, then what you're really saying is, God, I don't have enough. But you do have enough. Because if you've got faith, then you've got all that you need. Amen. If you've got the kingdom of God living inside you, what else do you want? What else do you want? Don't covet strengths of other people. If you're not meant to be in the worship team, then don't be in the worship team. If you're not meant to be on the laptop, don't go on the laptop. But when God is calling you into these ministries, are you prepared to move? Because the ministries that he's calling you into might actually be ministries that you would prefer not to get involved in. Well, there's a conflict there. Is God right or are you right? Just meditate. God wants to use your strengths for his purposes. Yes? He doesn't want to use your purposes. He wants to use your strengths for his purposes. Did you hear that? Because God wants to stir you up in that a wee bit. These are for his purposes. Others can't do what God wants you to do. They can't. Because it's your call. This is your call. If you compare yourself with others, you can rob yourself of the joy that God wants you to have. Because you don't appreciate or consider what you have as being of value. Uh-huh. Your quietness is speaking. Hallelujah. The result of which you will be less likely to give it out, and you can withhold life from others by not discharging the duties of your ministry. So if you're not considering things that you have of worth, then the result of which is that you will be less likely to give it out. And then you withhold life from others by not discharging the duties of your ministry, by not showing commitment and excellence in everything you do in the name of ministry, so that you are at God's highest standard and that he is commending you because you're doing what he has asked you to do. And what is your ministry? Some of you might be thinking. It's to do the works God has planned for you. That's it. Basic, simple, in a nutshell. Nothing else to find out. It'll be revealed as you do it. From step to step, it will be revealed. Don't worry about the skills that you don't have, but use what you do. Yep. And they'll grow. Because you see, as God has placed that investment in you, and as you are putting that investment to work, then you will bring about a maturity. It's guaranteed because it's a spiritual principle. It's not me that says it'll work, it's God. God says this'll work. It's not what you do, but it's what he does in and out of you through the Holy Spirit. You see? So no more, I don't have anything to offer, or I can't do that. But let the Holy Spirit help you in your weakness. And if you want a scripture for that one, it's Romans 8, verse 26. Just so that you can't come back and say, well, should you show me where that is in scripture? Because you'll find it in Romans 8. Maybe some of you don't want to find it. And then you use that as an excuse. Well, do you know what? The days of excuses are over. If we're going to go higher and if we're going to go deeper, then we need to leave excuses behind. You can't move on and keep a hold of your excuses. It doesn't work. Romans 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groans that words cannot express. I can guarantee you that when you are praying in the Spirit, out of your weakness, then your spirit is communicating with God's Spirit. And he is doing things in the heavenly realms that you and I know nothing about, can't comprehend, can't understand. So why not just let him do what he wants to do? Amen. Amen. Because it's for your benefit, but then for the benefit of others. Because in your weakness, you will get God's strength through his Spirit, which will enable you to do the things that you think you can't do. I can give you a list of things that I can't do, but I'm not being limited by them. I'm not going to let those things stop me from doing what I know I can do. The things that God has already showed me that I can do. I'm going to continue to do these things with a commitment and with excellence. I want to attain that highest standard so that God gets the glory. Amen. I'm not doing it for me. It's too much of an effort to do it for me. But when I know that what I'm doing is for God and for His glory, then that's my blessing. That's my reward. I don't need anything else. I just want to be faithful to God. And I know that you long to be faithful to God too. And I pray that this is encouraging you. I pray it's spurring you on and stirring you up. Because these things are achievable because we've got the kingdom inside of us and we lack nothing. But we maybe just need to have our eyes opened again. We maybe just need to be reminded. You are so valuable to God. Amen. So valuable. So precious. You are that rose of Sharon. You are that lily of the valley. But do you believe it? Because you see, that's the problem. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And if your heart is telling you anything that is contrary to the word of God, then that's the problem. Yeah. That's where the issue is. That's the root of the problem.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I am almost coming to a close. And you might be thinking, what on earth is all of this about? Well, I pray. I earnestly pray that all of you have been stirred and awakened to the fact that you have got so much more in you than you think you have. So much more. You lack no good thing. And for me, I believe that God, as you meditate and ponder on these things, that God is going to release the potential that's already in the inside of you. See all that kingdom that's in the inside of you? That kingdom is longing to come out of you into the lives of others, into the life of this church. This church can only grow when all of you empty yourselves of yourselves and pour everything into this church. John and I can't do it. Our leadership team can't do it. But we as a body, we can do it. Amen. If we're all prepared to discharge the duties of our ministry. Amen. All of us together. Amen. All of us vital. Amen. All of us important. Amen. Whether we're a small cog or whether we're the biggest cog, Amen. It doesn't matter. It's not about size. It's about, are you prepared to let God use you? Are you prepared to allow the Holy Spirit to flow in you and flow through you so that you will cause this body of people to arise and be the church that God wants us to be?
Hallelujah.
We can give you great teaching. We can do all that we can do. But if you don't move, nothing will happen. Nothing will change. But God has got much more for you. Do you want it? Are you chasing after it? Are you hungry for it? Because if you are, then you will rise up and you will be all that you are meant to be. Amen.
Amen.
All that you are meant to be. And you watch this place rise up. You watch this place reach God's highest standards.
Amen.
Because for John and I, there's nothing less. There's nothing less. And for John and I, we've been learning over a long period of years that if we, as pastor and pastor's wife, if we are not leading you the way we should be leading you, then we are doing you a disservice and we're doing God a disservice. Well, we are not prepared to do that. We are giving our all to this place. We have given our all. We will continue to give our all. Our commitment is here. And we want to do everything that we do with a spirit of excellence. And as we do it, we want that to rub off on you so that you'll do it too. We are very happy to clean the hall at the moment. We've been doing it since the end of July. We're happy to clean the hall because we want you to come into a hall that is nice. We're happy to clean the toilets because we want that to be a joy for you, apart when the radiator's not working in the ladies' toilets. But I've already spoken about that. We will not ask any one of you to do anything that we ourselves would not do. And that we ourselves will still not do. Because nothing will be below us. Nothing will be below us. If Jesus can wash the feet of the disciples, then believe me, we are going to wash your feet. We are going to serve you every possible way that we can serve you. And that's the heart that God has placed inside of us. There is great potential in each one of you.
Amen.
And I just want to share. Potential energy will remain potential energy until it's released. You can think of an archer who is going to pull the bow. And as he's pulling back and pulling back and pulling back, he gets to his fullest extent. But nothing will happen until he releases that arrow from the bow. But all of that potential is right there. And it's stored there and it will remain there until it's let go. You can think of a diver up the top of a diving board. He's up there, you know, I don't know, 30 feet. How high is a diving board? 30 feet, that's high enough. You won't get me up it. And you know, he's ready. He's ready. But if he doesn't move, he's going to stay up that diving board for a pretty long time. He needs to move. And your potential needs to move. Because when it moves and becomes kinetic, something happens. There's a change of energy. Do you want to have a change of energy in your life? Do you want to see a change of energy in this church? Do you want to see a change of energy in this body?
Hallelujah.
Well, be the change.
Amen.
You be the change.
Hallelujah.
It's inside of you to be the change.
Amen. May you have gene confirmation. Hallelujah.
My prayer for you and my prayer for me is that we don't postpone the release any longer. Don't postpone the release of your potential any longer.
Amen.
That potential can be released right now.
Amen.
Right now.
Thank you, Lord.
Are you ready for it to be released?
Yep.
Are you willing for it to be released? Today is your day. You might not get tomorrow. That's not a prophetic word.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Amen, Tom. Today is your day. The time for faith is now. You can only live now. So let's rise up. Let's use the fullness of the gifts and the talents that God himself has already placed inside of you. They are already there. And they're there for the building and for the edification of one another. You have got a storehouse that is full of all that you need. You lack nothing. Let us go back to the first scripture. 2 Timothy 1 verse 14. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. God has entrusted his kingdom to you. And that tells me something. That says to me that God believes in you and me. Why else would he entrust his kingdom to you and me? He's given it to us because he believes in us. Now, the question I ask myself and I ask you is, do you believe it too? Do you believe that you have that inside of you? And if he believes in you, why shouldn't you? Amen. Why shouldn't you believe in you? God does. God has filled you with everything that you need for this life. A life of godliness, a life of holiness. And it's a life that God wants to use to inspire and encourage and cause his kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Are we ready, church? Are we prepared to stand? Are we prepared to let that potential energy be released in a way that maybe it's never been released before? Amen. John, I would like you to come up and pray. Please. If you could just lead the church in a prayer. I believe that this prayer should come from the pastor.
Can we just all stand together, please? Thank you. Hallelujah. Thanks, Phil. Praise the Lord. That was a good word, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Have faith.
And I believe that I believe that by us all standing today, that this is, well, I believe in, well, we believe that you all have a heart to go on. You all have a heart to press into the things of God, the kingdom of God, to draw closer to him, to draw nearer to him, to move more deeply into your calling, whatever that is. Whatever that is. There was a verse I was reading today earlier on. I was just pondering a verse. And Jesus said one word. It was when Mary hadn't recognized Jesus. You know, it was his risen body, and he told her prior to him being revealed, he said, don't yet take a hold of me. I've not yet got my new body. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. But the thing that brought her attention was this. He's been talking with her. She's been kept from recognizing him. And he says one word. He says, Mary. Mary. What got her attention? Him speaking her name. Because nobody can see your name, Laura, like Jesus can.
Amen.
Nobody can see your name, Pat, like Jesus. And I pray that Jesus today catches your attention in a way maybe that he's never done before. I don't care if you've walked this road for as long as Ronald, or for as short as
Margaret.
I pray that when the older ones and the younger ones hear Jesus say Ronald, hear Jesus say Margaret, hear Jesus say James, hear Jesus say David, your attention will be arrested. Because only he can see your name like he sees your name. Father, we thank you for these saints standing here today. I believe that this is their declaration, Father, that they want to know you more. That they want to release that energy that has so far been stored. Lord, energy cannot be destroyed, it can only be changed.
Amen.
And I believe that right now, by this movement of your body, by this movement of your people, by them standing, that energy that was stored is becoming kinetic. Lord, it's being transformed into something new and something beautiful. So, Father, this church is excited. We are excited by this standing today. Lord, we call into being all of these gifts, all of these talents. Everybody standing here today is a leader. God says you're a leader. And you will lead this church. You will lead this people into things that they could never do for themselves. And God says you're fully equipped. You're more than competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, which kills, but of the Spirit, which brings life.
Amen.
And God is raising you up today as you have stood up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your gift makes room for you. And I can assure you, as your pastor, and I speak for both of us, and I believe I speak for the leadership team in this church, that we're going to make room for your gift. We will make room for your gift. We will not suppress it. We will not push it down. We will encourage it. We will nurture it. And we will see you soar to new heights.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I thank you. These people are on the move.
Thank you, Lord.
Your body is on the move. They're fed up being fed up. Lord, well, they're saying today by standing, enough is enough. And we are moving into the new things that God is doing through us collectively.
Thank you, Father.
As your people. Father, we bless these saints in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Can I just bring it back to a practical moment? Once church is over today, I would like all the chairs away and put through in the storehouse. Thank you very much.
Okay. Amen. Hallelujah.